Yo.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the off ramp, day number two. This is your host, Speech Bum Gun, on the mic. Hope you guys out there are having a very good Valentine's Day Eve. It is February 13, 2013. If your day wasn't good today, there's always tomorrow. And tomorrow starts in about an hour if you're on the East Coast. If you're on the West Coast, you got a couple hours, but hey, you'll be here before or later. So, as day two, show's still going to be a little bit rocky, but we're working on it. Today, I want to first discuss about this LeBron versus Michael Jordan topic. Now, all day on sports radio, cats been talking about, is LeBron as good as Michael Jordan? Is he having the best run of all time? What would happen if they play one-on-one? Who's a better killer? Is Kobe getting left out of the conversation? Let's have a good, honest sports conversation. First, full disclosure, I am not a Michael Jordan fan. I grew up in the 90s. I witnessed all Jordan's exploits and how great he was, and I'll be the first one to admit he is the most impactful human being on the sports industry that I know, except for maybe Wayne Gretzky. Michael Jordan has done more for basketball, including, if you add up what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did to save basketball, what Michael Jordan did as far as being a brand and the influence that he's had on kids my age can never be matched. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about basketball player. Hold on, I have somebody on the line. Let me see, is this caller? Go ahead. Go ahead, call it for 856. What is that, New Jersey? Go ahead, sir. How can I do you? No homo.
What's up? You put me on hold.
Hello, who am I speaking with?
It's your brother, man.
Oh, Mr. Fat, Mr. Righteousness. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Ah, no complaints, no complaints. How's the righteous world living today?
Ah, it's beautiful, man.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, right now we're discussing the LeBron versus Michael Jordan topic, and I was telling the listeners how that there is a huge difference when we discuss LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. This is not about culture. This is not about money. This doesn't even have to do with championships. Let's just talk about the actual basketball player. So, Mr. Righteous, who do you feel is a better basketball player? LeBron James today, or Michael Jordan, but his complete legacy. And let's not forget he played for the Wizards at about 265 pounds.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, man, it's hard to compare the two, man, because, I mean, Mike did so much, man, and he broke grounds and broke barriers for cats like LeBron James to come in, man. So he hasn't really
who's
done
that basketball today. If we playing 5-on-5, you got to pick up. You got the first pick on the team. Who are you picking?
5-on-5 and first pick on the team.
5-on-5, the first pick off the board. Well, hold on. Let's even make the last pick, because if we go 5-on-5, I don't think Michael Jordan or LeBron James would be the first pick off the board. But that's neither here nor there.
Because everybody gonna go for a big man. But
there
okay,
you go.
So basically, we going with LeBron James at his point in his career now. And Michael Jordan when he was back in his heyday.
Yeah, you could take them both at their – if LeBron James today is at his pinnacle, you could
right.
take Michael Jordan at his pinnacle. And you have one pick left, and there's two players left. You have Michael Jordan, and you have LeBron James. Who are you picking?
I think I'm gonna take Bron, man.
So then Bron's a better basketball player.
For the simple fact that because the kid, if we doing what he is today, and what Jordan was when he was in his prime, you gotta go with this. This dude is 6'8", 200 something pounds. He's fast. He's strong. He can go down in the paint. He can shoot from the outside. He can drive the basket. I don't think Mike could be able to cover that kid, man.
Yeah, I don't think either. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's hard for anybody to cover that kid one-on-one. It's hard for anybody to cover him one-on-one. They can barely double-team. So with Mike, it'll be a good game. But I think I would take Bron on that one, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people lose track of common sense. I mean, as great as Michael Jordan was, and I mean, it's only been about, I'd say, what, about 10 years since Michael Jordan's last played?
Yeah,
people
that.
Today, athletes today are just bigger, stronger, faster.
Yep.
And I mean, we've just never seen the likes of LeBron in that weight class move that way, who's willing to be able, who has the ball skills, and now all of a sudden the post-up moves. I mean, the kid has actually really worked on his game. I kind of feel bad for Kobe Bryant because I've always felt that Kobe Bryant was in the class with Michael Jordan. I mean, even though he will not get the accomplishments that Mike had, as far as basketball player, I actually think Kobe Bryant has better post-up moves than Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because you figure it's a different athlete, too, even though, you know, Kobe was around for the end of Jordan's career for most of that. So, you know, but, you know, his game is almost like, you know, Mike Jordan's a little bit, with the post up a little bit. But, you know, Kobe's probably just a little faster, a little bit more athletic, can shoot from the outside. But you remember, Jordan didn't have the greatest outside shot. You know, he was more of a scorer. He can get to the basket. You know, he can get you down low and give you that basket. But his three-point shot wasn't the greatest. You know, and what's it, Charles Barkley said it too. The kid was he's a great scorer. But as far as his jump shot, he ain't have the best jump shot in the game, but he can get to the cup. At will, at any time he wanted to.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But do you think the Colorado case is what got Kobe Bryant not put on the pedestal with the likes of Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird? Do you think that will hold Kobe back his legal troubles from the love that he should receive?
Nah, man, because everybody done forgot about that. Nobody even talk about it like that anymore. So, I mean, he can't really knock what he has done on the court to what he did off the court. He screwed up, but that was years ago. Nobody's even talking about that anymore. I even forgot all about it.
Okay. See, I still feel as though when it comes to media portrayal, the media has feelings, too. Everyone has feelings. Everybody tries to say that they don't have feelings. I'm one of the main people, too. I act like I am the most non-emotional person in the world, but I ain't going to lie. You know, when I come home and my wife doesn't have my grits ready, it hurts my feelings. But I try not to show it to her because, you know, you got to be the strong man in this world.
Right.
But do you think that the way Kobe has treated the media and people with the scourness that people say that is his killer instinct, do you think that has hurt the media's feelings, and therefore, when they crucified him during the case in Colorado, do you think that will therefore hurt him for Hall of Fame votes? Because that's on the media.
Well, I mean, it's on the media. I mean, you gonna have media votes, and I'm sure it's gonna be some old retired player votes as well too. So, but as far as that goes, I think he's gonna go in more so. And, you know, of his basketball skill and his basketball legacy and what he did in the basketball world, I kind of think they're going to look past that whole situation in Colorado for him to get in there. Because, I mean, like I said before, nobody's even talking about it no more. Happened, it's over with. You know, he's a terrible media person, but, I mean, you can't knock the man for what he did on the court. I mean, although they've done it to Chris Carter for years, but finally the man got in, but, you know. Happens.
Oh, yeah, we can just discuss Chris Carter. Definitely. Hold, please, we got a call on the line. Hold on for a second there, Mr. Rice. Let me see who we got.
Yeah.
Oh, Caller, go ahead.
What's going on, man? Just want to say go Duke. We were out here punishing North Carolina in the second half.
Go, who am I speaking with?
This is Jay Jerkin.
Oh, Jay, what's going on there?
I'm chilling. What's going on,
man? So you're watching the Duke North Carolina game, I see.
Yeah, man, yeah. You're getting it in.
Let me ask you this. You're obviously a Duke fan. I can understand the North Carolina rivalry. I'm not knocking you in your pleasure on beating the Tar Heels. But are you really worried about it with the scope of college basketball right now? I mean, North Carolina, I mean, let's be truthful about it. They suck. What is this win really doing for you right now, emotional?
Emotional is huge because it's a rival road, Tobacco Road, all day, every day. You can see it in the first half. North Carolina came out hot. They were stroking. We was down 7. You know what I mean? Going to halftime down 4. It's all emotion. So it's huge for our confidence, regardless if it's, you know, one team or another is up and down. So, I mean, we've had our ups and down years, too, when they came in and punished us. But we still played hard because it's Carolina. So
that's what you got to love about college. That's what you got to love about college sports. The emotion is riddled every night. You never know what when you're dealing with 17-year-olds to shoot college basketball, 21-year-olds. You know, you can get a great game one day and you can get a huge letdown the next day. You know, these kids are
just turning into
adults. Their emotions and maturities is running high, and that's what makes college sports so great. But that's the exact reason why I don't bet it anymore, because I keep losing because these bastards don't know how to play every night.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet college basketball or college football. Too much of a risk out here. Any given Saturday, even given Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever college basketball player, too many risks, too many hormones going on.
Absolutely. Let me put you on hold for a quick second, Jay Jerkin. Hey, so we are at the 18-minute mark. We only have 18 minutes left. I haven't paid for a full hour yet. I want to get used to this. So as we just finished discussing sports, I have a couple things that I want to discuss. But this is our little halftime break. We got about 3 minutes to discuss this. I want to ask a question. What is the best thing to eat after you've had sex? Think about that for a quick second. Let me rock some Outkast in your ear. Outkast, let you know what is going on. Hey, so caller number one, Mr. Righteous, what is the best thing that you like to get after you done had sex?
A drink of water.
That's all you wanted, some water?
A water, man. You're putting in that hard work, man. You're thirsty, man.
Yeah, I said to eat. I didn't say to drink.
Well, hey, man, I don't want nothing to eat. I want something to drink.
So that's the question. You don't want nothing to eat, yo.
I'm sorry. I don't want nothing to eat, man. I just want something to drink.
Oh, you wanted a nice cold glass of H2O, but the high quality H2O, huh?
Yeah, man. Because usually during that time, man, it's late at night, man. I don't want to do no late night snacking, so I just give me a nice cold glass of water.
Okay, I'm talking about, I don't know if you have kids or not. Well, yeah, I do, but I'm acting like I don't know. But, like, I'm talking about if you didn't have to get up the next morning to deal with the kids, if it was just, I'm talking about back in the day, college days, when you didn't have to wake up the next morning because of football, you didn't have to wake up the next morning for kids, you could sleep in with your woman.
Mm-hmm.
So after you done got it in, you don't ever want no Hostess Tasty Cakes or nothing?
Man, you can get you. Nah, man, my thing was milk and cookies, brother. I go to the cabinet, give me that Pathmark 3-roll pack, family pack, and eat a whole roll with some milk.
So, all right, let me put you on hold for a second. So, we just found out that Mr. Righteous, after his milk and cookies, get some milk and cookies. Hey, caller number two, Jay Jerkin. After you get done making love to your sugar, what sugar do you want?
Ah, man. I don't know what that first caller was talking about, man. It's all about the chicken box, man. Chicken box, man. Some late night chicken box, yo. I'm dressed up like crack.
Okay. So where are you located at there?
I'm in the streets of Baltimore, man.
Okay, you're in the streets of Bemore, the city that reads, be more careful. Okay, I've been there many a time. Where's the best chicken box? Where's the best spot to get a chicken box? In the 410-443-202. Was it 240s down there? I don't know. I haven't ran out.
Some 240s down here, man. The 202s in D.C., man. You got to give it up with the chicken and mumbo sauce wing and more wings, holla at Northeast. But if you're in Baltimore... We're in Baltimore. You know what I mean? You definitely got a freak with Reisterstown Road, New York Fried Chicken, man. That's late night. That's the late night tip. Late night tip. But if you're going to go, but if you're getting it in around 7 and you got time to get out the house before 10, you got to go get you some hip hop chicken, man. You don't ever know. They put sugar and spices and everything nice is on that chicken, man.
Hold on, hip hop chicken, what do you get, five wings and a beat CD?
Yo, I don't know what you get, man. I know they be sprinkling something on me, man, like E-40 out there, yo. They be like, sprinkle me, man. I don't know, yo.
All right, Jay Jerker, let me put you on hold real quick. So we are now at the 13-minute mark. There's only 13 minutes left. If any of you are out there, feel free to call in 646-915-8680. Again, I'm your host, Beach Bum Gun. I do this for fun. I ain't freestyle, no, but I'll say shit because I ain't a nun. So if you out there listening, please feel free to call in. Want to get on a quick other topic, 13 minutes left. Again, this is the Off-Ramp Show. You know, we go off on all types of different topics. I love talking sports. You want to talk politics. You want to talk relationships. You want to talk cooking. Anything you want, you know. This is my show. This is your show. As much as it is mine, as much as it is yours. As long as I can afford to keep on doing it, I'll keep doing it. You know, this is all. We can all crack jokes, have a good time, relieve some stress, hopefully make your relationships better, hopefully get you in tune with some sports that's going on out there in our busy lives. If you have advice on me with kids, because I'm about to have one sooner or later, please let me know. So on our next topic that we will discuss, let's talk about the cop that was killed in California. Now, I just don't understand something. If you were let go by the police department because you felt like you were a whistleblower and they unjustly fired you and you wanted to exact revenge, now, I am not promoting on killing anyone, but if you want to exact revenge on someone, why would you kill their daughter? And I understand that some people in the Twitter world was in support and hoping that he got away. And I was with him until I found out that he killed the dude's daughter and her fiance. Now, I don't approve of him killing any of the cops or anything like that. But if he felt like they were justly wrong, that he was fired unjustly wrong and he felt he was killed on that day, then I get it. You attack the people that attacked you. But when you go and kill an innocent child and her fiance, I can't ride with you. What do you feel out there? Hey, since I wanted to call one last time, I'm going to call two out here. Jay Jerker, what's up with that cop out of California? Do you even think he got away? You think he's hiding in the streets like Tupac Shakur? And we're going to see him pop up.
Yo. Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Cocaine's a hell of a drug, man. He was on that Rick James over there, man. He was over there lunching. I mean, I'm with you, man. You know, the daughter did nothing to you, man. Neither did the boyfriend, man. I say you should have sought justice some other way, especially being a cop and all. So that's why we need cricket gun laws, man. These kids crazy out here, man. So, but I'm with you, though, man. I just think he was on something. Now, they haven't been able to confirm whether that was his body or not. I think he's very smart, basically, to outgun, turn his weapons to automatic, outgun some cops down. So what I think he did, I think he probably did do exactly that. Probably burned the joint up because that's how you get rid of all the evidence. And I think the body they found was probably somebody else's.
Oh, so you conspiracy theorist. You think he out there like Tupac. Hold on for one quick second. Caller number one, Mr. Righteous. What's your righteous note on this cop out in California? You think he's still out there or you think he's done?
Man, listen. Like I said, like I've been saying all day, we're talking to various people, man. I think the kid, he's been on the run for a week, for a whole week, and he's been up in that same place for that whole week. He's probably mapped out a way to get up out of there so that way and create enough diversion so that way he can get out of there and get the spotlight off him. So now what he probably did was he probably planted that body in there, burnt the joint up, got out of there, and now they thinking he's dead. So now all they're not even worrying about him anymore because they think he's dead until they do an autopsy on the body. So right now, until they do an autopsy on the body, I don't put nothing past nobody, especially when you are a trained Marine and you a trained cop. And then don't tell him what else he's been doing and been reading and knowing how to do certain things, man. That's what the great Machiavelli did, a disappearing act right before your eyes and you didn't even know it.
All right. So, well, let me put a rebuttal on both of y'all real quick. I think both of y'all dudes is nuts. This man was hidden in a mountain cabin. I just don't believe. I understand that he was an ex-Marine, but he was also just a regular cop. I mean, these dudes are trained, but they ain't Superman. And, you know, it would take for him to have a shootout with the cops, to run in the house, have the cops seize the building, and for him to be able to get out of the house and run somewhere and not be seen by the helicopters, the other police that surrounded the area, to me just isn't realistic. For him to have built a tunnel underground to maybe escape, because I know that they had stated that there was some scuba gear that he had bought, and they were wondering, why is he buying scuba gear? Why is he buying scuba gear? Is there a way for him to get to the ocean and be able to swim away so no one knows? I mean, we're talking Skyfall. We're talking James Bond here. And I've seen homie pictures. He don't look like he too much smaller than me. And I'm a big dude. And scuba gear ain't doing nothing for that, man. You know what I mean? Like, he was a regular cop. I'm pretty sure he was tearing them Krispy Kremes up. And he wasn't in the shape like he was in the Marine. Now, you do have proof on your side. The autopsy has not come back. It could not be him. But if I had to make a bet today, I bet $1,000 that was his body. There's a slight chance I could be wrong, but I'd be willing to take that bet. And call number one, Mr. Righteous, I just don't believe he's Machiavelli. I just don't believe he's that bright. Because if he was that bright, when he turned the dude in, he would have been able to figure out a way to get the law on his side so he would even get some money out of the deal. I mean, you whistleblow on a cat for a beatdown that he gave somebody unjustly. All these cop cameras on their dashboards and all that stuff, you would think that if he was like, all right, I'm going to snitch on him, I'm going to tell on him, let me get this video so that they say, oh, I was wrong, I got some proof. You make a claim that's probably true, and you don't have no proof to back it up, so they fire you. That's like a double lose. Go ahead, Mr. Rogers. What you got to say?
Well, I mean, everything he did was just plumb dumb up to that to the point anyway. So, I mean, I don't condone nothing he did as far as killing people, killing cops, killing a girl, whatever the case may be. Man, he should just like any normal person would do. Take him to court, sue him, try to get some money out of him, and then live your life. Good, but he went, like calling number two said, he was off that ooh-wee. So he just went off the deep end and just started shooting everybody. So, but you know, you never know, man. You never know what these people be thinking or how they do certain situations or anything like that, man. So until that autopsy come back, I'm still convinced that he did some other craziness. So
all right, hold for a second. Hey, call it two. Jay Jerky, you got anything to add before we move on to the next topic here?
Listen, to understand who the killer was, you got to understand what the killer had in his disposal. See, you call us conspiracy theorists, but what you got to understand is that they weren't 100% sure he was even in the cabin. He could have set traps. So to automatically burn that bitch up when they got close. So while they was over there on the news, he was watching them on the news, and he knew exactly when to blow that bitch up.
Hey, Jay Jerk, I'm going to tell you. Hey, Jay Jerk, I'm going to tell you like you told me, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Hey, man, who were you shooting at him an hour before they stormed the house? No, how could he not be there?
I'm saying it wasn't him the whole time, son. People play suicide bombs all the time. They pay somebody like, oh, do this for Allah, yo. People strap bombs to their chest, yo. Walk to their death. Son, you know what I mean? It's like Queen Latifah did, man. Yo, get out the car, yo. Just get out the car. And she rolled up on him. She knew her destiny. People have it happens, yo. That's what I'm saying. He was watching on TV as his plan unfolded, son. He had somebody riding for him. The other dude didn't even know he had bombs planted in the house. So he was like, yo, just ride for me. I'm going to go and set up the boat, get down to Mexico. Dude riding with the shootout, yo, and all of a sudden the man turned on him, yo, and blew him up. It's crazy, 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 crazy.
Second show ever, and we have a lesbian New Jersey gay reference in Queen Latifah set it off. You can't beat that, folks. All right, so I got 3 minutes and 45 seconds left, so we're going to have to make this a little bit quick. I mean, we still got a couple minutes left. How about who was the best-looking person at the Grammys? Now, I personally thought the old lady J-Lo killed it with her leg out. Yeah, I mean, J-Lo's been, she's a 40-year-old gorgeous lady. I always want to know who's better-looking, J-Lo, Halle Berry, or who's my other one? J-Lo, Halle Berry, and the Modern Family chick. Those are some bad-looking 40-year-olds. So, but who was the best one at the Grammys? Because word on the street is Katy Perry just killed it. Hey, call it two. Jay Jerker, did you watch the Grammys? Oh, hold on. Let me take you off mute so you can listen. All right, there you go.
I did see the Grammys, and I will definitely concur about J-Lo. Although Kelly Rowland held her own, too.
Yo, was that really her body? I've looked at that picture of Kelly Rowland, and I think she's a gorgeous-looking woman. But do you think that was really her body under that dress, or was that just a skin color rolling down to make it look like that was her body?
I have no idea, but it was amazing, whatever she did.
Hold on, let me go to caller one. Hey, Mr. Righteous, what you got for me? Who's the best looking one at the Grammys?
I didn't see no Halle Berry, but I was digging Kelly Rowland. I was digging Kelly Rowland a little bit, man. She was looking good out there. She was looking good. I mean, J-Lo was looking good out there too, and Katy Perry. I mean, they was like the top three, the best three out there.
That J-Lo leg looked like a leg grandmom used to make back in the day, yo. That was a mean leg, yo. All I needed was some butter, some oregano, and some hot sauce, and we'd have been in the money.
I get some rice and beans.
All right, so we got 90 seconds left, fellas. Let me ask you this. What is your plans for Valentine's Day? Call number one, Mr. Righteous, go ahead.
Nothing much, man.
Make it quick.
Got the wife some chocolate, a bear, you know, a little car, a little something, you know. That's about it. Nothing special, man. We too old for all that.
Cool. Hey, caller number two. Jake Durkin, what you got?
I got three girls, man, and a wife. Going to take them all out to dinner real sexy like.
We going sizzler. We going sizzler.
Yeah, when you got girls, you got to show them examples of how they supposed to get treated. So,
absolutely, that's the way to be a good father. Okay, I got 40 seconds left. I want to first thank my two callers for calling in. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening. This has only been our second show. It's a little rough around the edges, but that's us. You know, we uncut. We off the ramp on the way to Uncut City. Please, I'm gonna try to make this daily. Feel free to always call in, talk about whatever you want. Maybe I can give you advice, help you out. Maybe you can give me advice to help me out. Let's all help each other out. So in the last 20 seconds, I just want to say y'all have a good night. Get some rest. If today was bad, make tomorrow better. Because you never know. You just never know. This is Beach Bum Gun signing off. Y'all be safe. 100.